On this, the last Sunday morning of 2015, I want to take as my text those words that we read from Daniel chapter 12 and verse 13, the very last verse in the book of Daniel. God's word to him, "But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and at the end of the days will arise to your inheritance." Now, there are many things in the book of Daniel that we can understand, and we all love the stories about Daniel that we were taught in the Sunday school. In the second bit of the book, there are many prophecies that are mysterious to us, and we find it difficult to figure them out. Not surprising, even Daniel, as we read together in this 12th chapter, found it hard to understand what God was saying to him. But his final word is crystal clear, both to Daniel and to us as well. And God is speaking to us today, just as he was speaking to Daniel. He says, "But you go your way." And of course, we ask the question, what way is that? And we know that there are any number of ways in which an individual may go. There is Satan's way. And it's to be greatly feared that many are on that way. They demonstrate by their godlessness, their rejection of Christ, their sinful habits, their wicked lives, that they are following Satan. And they are traveling fast as they can to death and destruction and a lost eternity. And then there is the world's way. And the world is an alluring, enticing place. It offers ease and comforts and pleasures. It bids us not take God seriously, nor his word, nor holiness. And again, it is to be greatly feared that there are many, many people, some of them very respectable people, and they are going the world's way. And then, of course, there is our own way. And we live in a day when people are very conscious of themselves and insistent on their own way, their own rights, their own opinions. And they are prepared to get what they want and do what they think, irrespective of what church may say, or Bible may say, or God may say. Self is the final authority, and they insist on going their own way. "I've done it my way," is what Sinatra sang, and many there are who agree with him. And then, of course, there is God's way. And that was the way that Daniel was on. He had made his way God's way. He had done so whenever he was only a young fellow. And he stuck to that way through all of the hardships and dangers and trials of life. And he continued to walk that way now as an old man. And this book that bears his name closes with God himself encouraging Daniel to continue on that way. But you go your way till the end. Daniel made his way God's way. And that was a way of faith. We know nothing of Daniel's home background or his upbringing. But it must have been good and godly. For in chapter 1, when we find Daniel and his three friends as young people, teenagers, snatched from their homes and taken captive to Babylon, we see them to be young men of strong, resolute principle because of their faith in God. They would not defile themselves with the food and the wine of the king of Babylon. They had come to know the living God personally. And they loved him, and they honored him, and they obeyed him, and they trusted him. And they were prepared to do that despite the risks of disobeying the word of the king of Babylon. And as young men, they enjoyed the blessing of God upon them. Let me ask you today, have you come to a personal faith in the living God? A real faith, a living faith, a saving faith. Daniel's way was a way of faith. It was the way of acquaintance with God. Time and time again, as we read this book of Daniel, we see that Daniel knows his God and loves his God and walks with his God. Daniel's habit was to commune with God three times a day. The thing that made Daniel great before the Lord and before his fellow man was simply his acquaintance with God, his fellowship with God, his walk with God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant, says the Bible. And Daniel proved that to be so. Let me ask you today, are you acquainted with God? Whenever you come to the throne of grace, are you known there? Because day by day you come there. Not just on Sundays, not just in the crises of life, not just whenever it suits you. You're acquainted with God. Daniel's way was a way of determination. Daniel experienced many temptations to allure him off that straight and narrow way of fellowship with God. He experienced many threats to try and push him off that way. You think of what we read in Daniel 6 and the threat of the den of lions. If any man prayed to any god except King Darius for 30 days. And I love what it says in Daniel chapter 6. Whenever Daniel heard of that decree that had been made and signed by the king, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. as was his custom since early days. Neither temptation to sin nor threat of death altered Daniel's determined resolve to walk with God. Again, I inquire, are you a definite, decided, determined Christian? Somebody who's got the courage of your Christian convictions. Determined to go God's way, no matter what friends may say or the world may think. And Daniel's way was the way of prayer. Again and again, we read of Daniel's life and we find him praying. When at first he was commanded to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's untold dream, he prayed. His daily habit, as we have seen, was to pray 3 times daily. Despite threats, despite the burdens of state responsibility that rested on his shoulder, and let's remember he was the prime minister of the land. And in Daniel chapter 9, which I encourage you to read whenever you go home today, we find one of Daniel's prayers, one of the greatest prayers in the whole of the Bible. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. So we were taught in Sunday school, and it's true. I ask, are you a praying man, a praying woman, a praying young person? Daniel's way was God's way, the way of faith, the way of acquaintance with God, the way of determination, and the way of prayer. And says God, but you go your way till the end. And here we have God exhorting Daniel to keep right on to the end. And how important that is. For God knows, and we all know, it's one thing to begin walking in God's way. It's quite another to continue walking in that way right until the end. Many, alas, alas, never begin to go God's way. Many start well, but then they stop. They lack the grace of continuance. And that, my friends, is no uncommon failure. How many there are who once professed Christ, but now they no longer do so. How many once came to Bible studies and prayer meetings, but now no longer come. How many there are who once had a heart that was living and warm and filled with love for God and His Word. But now that heart is cold and dead and hard. My friends, dread stopping short in the Christian race. Ever pray that you will stick the pace and keep right on to the end. Remember that word of the Savior and let it spur you on. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. But you go your way till the end. And then the next thing, you shall rest You shall rest in the grave. In other words, God's saying to him, you shall die. Now, I know that in this 21st century, death is a taboo subject. We don't talk about it. We don't think about it. We don't prepare for it. God is very different. He's honest. He's realistic. He tells us all that we are mortal creatures, that we are dying, and that we will do so. And here he tells Daniel that he's going to die. But you will notice how he refers to death. You will rest. For this man of God, death is rest. And we all know how that thinking is taken up in the New Testament. People said of Jairus' daughter, she was dead. Jesus said of her, she's sleeping. Paul speaks of those who fall asleep in Jesus. In other words, those who rest. And you remember what John says in the Revelation, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, in that they rest from their labors and their works do fallen. For the man of God and the people of God, death is rest. It's falling asleep in Jesus. It is not the end of the person. Much less is it the annihilation of the person. It is rest, blessed rest, happy rest, holy rest, until the day of resurrection. And at the end of another year, we have 1 year less to live. And we are 1 year nearer our death. But you go your way to the end, for you will rest. And at the end of the days, you see, time is not just going round and round in an endless cycle of springs and summers and autumns and winters. Time is linear. It is moving towards its appointed destination, a destination appointed by God. And God knows the number of days that he has reserved for planet Earth. And that sandglass of time is slowly but surely running through. There will come an end of the days, as we have it here in our text. There will come a day when time shall be no more. And that will be the cue for God to step in and act in our world once more. And act in the most profound and dramatic way that he has ever acted. Time will end. Christ will come. Heaven and earth shall fade and flee. People will rise from out their graves. And the final judgment will be given. And the eternal destinies of men and women will be settled. What a day that will be. These tiny pygmy minds of ours cannot really begin to understand the momentous events that shall happen at the end of the day. The man of God, the woman of God need not fear. Because look at what God says to Daniel. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and at the end of the days will arise to your inheritance. Great will be the changes and convulsions in our universe at the end of the days. Great will be the display of God's majestic power and glory then. And that final day will involve all of us. For on that day, all the living shall be caught up in it, and all the dead will be resurrected. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Already in this chapter, in verses 2 and 3, we read that. Many who sleep in the dust of death shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Jesus Christ said the same thing in John chapter 5. And all of our Bible joins together to assert the same glorious truth. Death may overtake us. Our body may rest in the grave. But one day, one final day, one great climactic day, Jesus Christ will come again, not as a baby, but as a king in his glory. And on that day, the dead will be raised for final judgment. And on that day that Christ comes to be glorified in his saints, his saints will rise to reign with him forever in his glory. Because that is their allotted inheritance. That is their reward. And that will be their joy for all of eternity. And that, my friends, will make all the trials and all the difficulties of going God's way pale away into insignificance. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But on that great final day, the ungodly and the disobedient shall also rise from out the dust of death. And they shall face Jesus Christ, not as their Savior, but as their judge. And what an awful day, an awesome day that will be for them. A day of terror and trembling. Because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of their repeated rejections of Christ, they will, in the words of Jesus Christ, be condemned. How dreadful are those words. How awful. Condemned forever, lost forever. That's why, my friends, the gospel is urgent. That's why it tells us that now, today, in the days of grace, when mercy is offered, we are to take Christ and we are to trust in him. That is why the Bible urges us to flee. Flee from the wrath to come. God's word to Daniel, God's word to us. But you Go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise at the end of the day to your inheritance. Are we going God's way? I trust we are. Keep on. Keep on going that way till the end. Because on that final day, you will be glad you did so. For then, joy unspeakable and full of glory will be your portion and your portion forever. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Let's pray together. For mercy, O God, that has spared us almost to the end of 2015, we say thank you. For those mercies of having the Bible and hearing the gospel and knowing of Jesus Christ and the love of God and that full and eternal provision that you have made for our souls in Jesus Christ, we also say thank you. In your gospel, there is forgiveness of our every sin. In your gospel, there is a free acceptance for every sinner. And in your gospel, there's life, and there's joy, and there's peace, now and forever. We say thank you for it, and our prayer is that you will help all of us to avail ourselves of it through abandoning our sin, turning to Christ, taking him, trusting him, and oh, may this be a blessed year in the experience of every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
Thank you.
Now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all today until Christ shall come again, and then forevermore. Amen.